Then another group had 20 from blood samples from 27 astronauts. These were from different missions taken together. And it was found there was a significant decrease in the percentage of CD14 and CD16 monocyte differentiation markers. These two markers are on the surface of monocytes, like our T-cell receptor. And these are typical markers for monocytes and CD16 specifically also for macrophage. So this also means that differentiation of monocytes into macrophages again reduced also in this group. These are results, and Miliuc Fulford provided me the slides from another colleague. This was a 16-day mission, 12 astronauts. So they showed small but significant change in the number of monocytes. This is at launch, 10 days before launch, the day when they came back, and this is a statistically significant difference. So there are lower number of monocytes. But they recovered already 3 days after landing. So this is not so dramatic. Then they measured 25 astronauts, and they were on different missions lasting between 5 and 11 days. And there they have measured how good they could do phagocytosis. And they found a large and significant change that the cells no more did phagocytosis, so no more macrophages. This is again launch minus 10. And it's significantly different when they came back. So there was much less phagocytosis. And what happened then? 3 days later, it was even much less. So these cells did not yet recover, even they got worse. But later they recovered again. Okay, this is a summary of the immune response in astronauts, cosmonauts, which could be shown or found to be altered during or after space flight. We have seen lymphocyte activation also in human beings is severely inhibited. The subset of white blood cells, I have shown you these different subgroups, is changed. We have a reduction in T cells, lymphocytes, natural killer cells, and an increase in neutrophils, and also an increase in total white blood cells. In the monocytes, we have a reduced number, and the phagocytic activity was significantly reduced. And also the activity of the natural killer cells was reduced. And the reaction to our skin test was also reduced after they came back from space. But what did not change is the number of, or the content of immunoglobulins. So B cells produced the same amount of immunoglobulins. This has never been changed. Let's see what could happen to the immune system in humans in space. Of course, I told you they have physical and psychological stress. And this is known that this influences the immune system. But also the neuroendocrine system, what is it? The neuroendocrine system produces hormones, or the nerve cells of this system produce a lot of important hormones which our body needs. But also this can have an influence on the immune system because this is changed, different. On the other side, we have cosmic radiation, which is much higher in space. We have microgravity, and we also have isolation. There are only a few astronauts. Sometimes they were there 3 or 2 for a very long time. And this is also a lack of an antigen challenge. So the immune system doesn't get challenged because nobody is there which could have fever, which could have a flu, which could attack our immune system and challenge it. So these are several factors which can influence spaceflight. There are so-called spaceflight stressors. I say these are stress factors from spaceflight which can change the immune response. Of course, they have an intensive pre-launch training. What I told you, you can experience on Earth without going into space if you have a lot of things to do. Then there is the stress of the launch. You never know what happens when you sit on this rocket. Then they have microgravity, radiation, and there is microbial contamination, maybe not from the other astronaut, but in these spaceships, by now, there are also microbes. Then there is sleep disruption. You know, when you do not sleep, you have a problem. Your immune system is also attacked. You do not know it immediately. Changes in circadian rhythm. This happens when you fly, for instance, to Europe, or when we came here to China for a few days. This was hard because we have a time shift of 7 hours. Then a psychological dynamics of confined environment. They are sitting in a small box and they cannot escape. And if there is another astronaut or cosmonaut which they not always like, could be some problems. And there's another pressure. They should not fail. Everything we ask them to do, they should do without any failure. We ask them to do an experiment. We hope he does it right. And this is also a high pressure on them. All these are factors which can have an influence on our immune system. So there is now the question. If our immune system is reduced in space, is there a higher risk for infections which we could get in space? Maybe this is not so a problem for these short-term missions, but for long-term missions this could be a risk. And it's known already, one has observed infections in space. Already the Apollo astronauts, 15 of 29 astronauts, had a bacterial or viral infection, either during flight or within 1 week after flight. Apollo 13, maybe you heard about this mission, this was one of the missions going to moon, but they had some problems, so they didn't land on moon. And one of the astronauts developed a urinary tract infection during the flight. And this couldn't get better until he was back. So then NASA started to take some countermeasures. From that, after they knew this, crew is since then always isolated before they have a space flight. About 1 week or 2 weeks before space flight, they're all taken together in Kennedy Space Center and only a few people then have contact to them. So they shouldn't get virus or bacteria from outside. And this then helped that the large decrease in these infections was mostly respiratory tract, cold, then was reduced. It's a simple measure, but it helped. Then we have so-called latent virus reactions. These are viruses which, in a way, are sleeping, but they can get active. And one of them, just forget the name again, is varicella zoster. It's a virus. And it was present in 30% of 200 saliva samples. Collected 200 samples from 8 astronauts in and post-flight, and this virus was present in 30% of these samples. So this is a lot. Then there is Epstein-Barr virus, also a famous virus, and they found the DNA of this virus in 16% of the in-flight samples from 25 astronauts. This was significantly greater than pre- and post-flights. These were samples taken in flight. Also, this is a risk, not for a short-term flight. And 11 of 28 astronauts showed then post-flight a virus infection caused by this virus. So it had an influence, but they were already back, so you can cure it. So now, there are plans to go out. To go maybe once again to Moon, but even to go out to Mars. And this would take, I think, about 2 years to go forth and back. Then they will also would like to stay there. You can imagine what could happen or can happen. They are alone, a few peoples. Maybe they have some chemicals, but they do not have a doctor. So there are new risks for this long time. They call it, the Americans call it exploration mission, means long-term missions going out of our Earth orbit. There are new forms of radiation, because radiation in space, outer space, is sometimes on much higher than around on our orbit. Then the crew, as I told you, is isolated. They have no possibility of rapidly coming back, or they have no treatment for if they are ill. They get trained to do some treatment, but if there's something which you cannot cure, they cannot come back. Then the immune system might be altered, and there are all different pathogens, or the same pathogens, maybe they get more active. And also what they eat is different. And also, maybe you know, everybody tells you eat enough salad, eat enough vegetable, it's good for your health. But what they eat on a space flight is much different. It's not the daily food they are used to eat. Okay, how we can study this? We have a problem. Because we only have a few human subjects in space so far. And also these astronauts, they do not like to be guinea pigs. We can't take all the time blood for them, otherwise they have no more blood. So there must be done studies with rats and mice in space, or they have already been done. And mice, for instance, with mice, a lot of studies have been done also to detect how immune system is functioning in humans, and you can compare it. Or we use ground-based models. You have seen, for our research, we have clinostats, three-dimensional clinostats. We do so-called bed rest studies, and I'll show you in a minute what it is. Hind limb unloading with rats. Strange word, but just show it to you. People are just lying into bed. Or they put them into bed. They make a lot of studies at NASA, at European Space Agency. And then you see the bed is slightly tilted to the back. So the head is down. And this gives the same effect as if they are in space. The fluid in space comes up and to the head. And here it also goes into these directions. And we can see the same similar changes in human beings, what happens to astronauts in space. So we can study with these people. There are always people ready to do this. They get something paid. But sometimes they lie two and more months in the bed. And this is the model with the rats, so-called hind limb unloading. You see, on the leg in the back, he is suspended. He can a little bit move here, but he has the head down, this rat. It's the same model. All the liquid is going into the head. And the factors which have been found, immunological factors affected by spaceflight in rats and mice, is again, the white blood cell subset distribution is different in these animals than the one on ground. Lymphocyte activation is reduced. Cytokine production is changed. the natural killer cell and the neutrophil activity are also changed, similar as in human beings. So these are good models. And more, lymphocyte activation is also depressed, but this we already have seen. White blood cell subset distribution is not affected, is affected, but it seems not the same way as in human beings, but there are changes. Okay, effect of spaceflight conditions on resistance to infections. Now we see what can happen. For instance, this is always in mice. These are now a group of mice. They also had hind limb suspension, so they were hanging. And then there was a so-called pathogen. It's a virus, EMC virus. And the resistance to this virus was lower than on ground. And this we do not yet look at it, but we have here two bacteria. And these bacteria are known to be dangerous for humans. And in both type of a bacteria, the immunity is lower, again, in mice. This is now this famous EMC virus, and there is a special strain of mice, and they are totally resistant to infections with this virus. So this virus cannot harm them. But if they are hanging, if their hind limb unloaded, they are infected. So immune system is no more working well. And the control animals, which were kept under similar conditions, but not suspended like that, they were still resistant to infections. And it's the ability of these mice, the blood, you also can find interferon, alpha and beta, and this correlated with the resistance to this virus. So there was more production in this group and in this group and less in the one which was infected. Now we go here. We have already seen these are two bacteria, strange name, and in both cases they had a defect in the immune system was compromised. Klebsiella pneumonia, just as an example, don't forget the name. This is a part of our normal microbes in the intestine. You know, we have a lot of microbes in our body, and they are part of them. And there are many patients which have a problem with this bacteria after they underwent surgery. If they're in a hospital, they had a surgery, then the immune system is down, and then it's very easy that they get infections by this bacteria. And then this bacteria can spread from the intestine and can then even cause a total infection, and it can come to death. So if something like this would happen to an astronaut in space, it's not so nice. You can do a test with mice, and they infected a group of mice with this bacteria, and they gave them a so-called 1LD15. What does this mean? This is a certain amount of different bacteria, and when they give this amount of bacteria to 100 mice, 50 will die. So this is the so-called LD50. Control mice, 50% died, as we can expect. But if the mice were hanging, 86% of mice were dying. So you see, immune system is compromised. And the time until they were dead was significantly lower. So they were dying much faster. And also this animal, they could not easily clear their bacteria from their blood. So their normal immune system was compromised. Now we see the other bacteria, the other type. This type of bacteria already has caused infections during a spaceflight mission. One of the astronauts got ill, and then they also made tests, mice hanging like that. They showed a highly significant higher mortality. So if they were infected with this bacteria, more mice died. And they had also a prolonged elevation of a hormone. So this is a stress hormone. It might well be that stress might play a role that they show less resistance to this infection. And we know we have stress in spaceflight. So there's a question. Could there be a countermeasure that could minimize the negative effects of this treatment or of a depressed immune system now first in mice? And the final goal is then to find somebody with which we could protect humans from these infections during spaceflight. I'm always talking about long-duration spaceflight, not short. Short, they even come back. If they are in Earth orbit, they can go back. But not if they are out somewhere on a travel to Mars. And there is a compound called AHCC, active hexose correlated compound. Very strange word. I don't know this compound, but it's an extract which has been prepared from mycelia of several species of mushrooms which have been cultivated together. It contains polysaccharides, amino acids, and minerals, and it's good for your health. It has been shown that it has a beneficial effect on the immune system of normal humans, and rodents are mice and rats. And I guess this is in the United States, because this is a study done in the United States. It can be bought as a food supplement. Food supplement, as for instance, as you buy some vitamins or some other things which are good to your health. So you can buy this in a normal store. And NASA did some tests with this substance. With mice, they have given these mice 1 week this substance, then they have hanged them, they continued to give this substance, and then these mice, they were significantly protected from an infection with this bacteria. So in this case, this substance helped the mice that they got much less infection. And another group, highly manloaded mice, were also infected with the same bacteria, pre-treated, and they showed an enhanced cytokine production and lymphocyte activation. So they produced, for instance, more interleukin-2, and the lymphocytes were more active. So in mice, it seems this helped. I didn't see any report that they did this study already with humans. And the same, when mice were infected with this bacteria without having this good substance, and they were hind limbs suspended, so they were hanging, they could not clear this bacteria from their blood. So they did not succeed to get rid of this. But if they have been pre-treated with this substance and then infected, they could get rid of this bacteria. So it was good for the health of these mice, even they were hanging. I think this, yeah, it's the rest. This is a study which has been done several years ago, but as I told you, I didn't see if it has ever been tested with humans.